The Boag World Show is back! In this first show of the season, we're going to be joined by Lee Howes to introduce what is a departure from our normal subject material. That's because in this season, we're going to be discussing passion, success, and motivation. Boag World is proudly supported by Dev Bootcamp, the original immersive coding program that transforms beginners into full-stack web developers. Head over to devbootcamp.com/Boag World to learn more. We're also supported by Proposify, a simple way to deliver winning proposals to your clients and, I have to say, a personal favourite of mine. Welcome to BoagWorld.com, the podcast for those involved in designing, developing and running websites on a daily basis. We are back, people. And by we, of course, we mean Marcus, but we also mean Lee of the Howes clan. Lee, you always have to be on the first show of every season now. It is a new tradition.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I need to be extra passionate about being on this one, don't I?
Like, woohoo!
I've been practicing
passionate,
that all day.
Motivated and successful, because that is the theme of this season's podcast. So, yes, Lee, you're... I want to stress, because you always accuse me of only inviting you on the show when I can't get a guest. And I swear to you, you were the first person that came on that I invited, and what is more, you shall always be on the first episode of every season until we all die or get dementia.
It has been decreed.
I feel honoured and privileged, Paul.
I've been missing you guys over the Christmas period. We went out for our Christmas dinner, didn't we? Headscape Christmas dinner, and being a shareholder, it's a nice loophole to allow me still to come. And it was like seeing you all again made me miss you.
Good.
Oh. Well.
So you should.
We're having so much fun, Paul.
Are you really?
Wouldn't believe it.
Have you been? No. You've been doing lots of exciting things in my absence.
Oh, absolutely. So many things. So much fun. So much hilarity. You missed it all.
So how was your Christmas then, Lee? Although, of course, by the time this goes out, it's like almost the end of January, so nobody gives a shit about Christmas or New Year.
Christmas. Yeah, I remember that. That was a couple of weeks where I almost got out of my office a few times. Yeah.
Oh, you haven't been working over Christmas.
No, he hasn't. No. He's been being passionate about his hobby.
Yes, I've been throwing myself in, just rushing around, squealing with excitement about them.
I don't believe you. Marcus, have you been bullying people and making them work over Christmas?
No.
Not Lee. Yes, is the true answer, but not Lee.
Who's been working over Christmas then? That's terrible.
Oh, no, we just had a couple of issues with sites that were fixed within 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
But it was beyond my ability to fix them, so I had to... give Chris a ring.
I won't make any comments about that whatsoever, things being beyond your ability.
But it's perfectly legitimate to do so, Paul. My back-end coding just isn't up to it.
Neither's mine.
But no, I did nothing. Although I did, it seems to be an annual tradition to look at your own site or look at my site and rebuild it for no apparent reason, which I did start to do. But I suddenly realised how tragic it really was to be in my office over Christmas coding, fiddling with grids. Wait, stop!
Well, I had the just a quite simple task of tidying up my office, which I half did it. So now it's twice as bad as it was. This bit I'm looking out towards my screen and just in my peripheral vision is fine. Behind me is hideous.
No, behind you looks really nice on the webcam. It's
just
all
just
like
pointing at the ceiling.
It's all moody lighting
and the walls.
Yeah, moody lighting and guitars on the wall. It looks great.
It is nice in here, apart if I don't
just
look behind me on the floor.
Yeah, Lee's looking. Lee's realised that his background on his webcam is just a shelf and a load of boxes and clothes and things strewn out. I like your lazy boy chair, mine. That looks nice.
It's very comfy, and it's very easy to fall asleep in, I must admit. But no, the camera's on the wrong side of the room because it looks better from over there.
Not that anyone could see any of it.
It's terrible from here.
We're not used to having webcams. We're using a new little tool to record this today called EpiShow, which makes me think of Epi razors, which are women's razors to do their legs, aren't they? Epilator. That's what I'm thinking of, an epilator.
Yeah. That's the thing that rips hairs out, isn't it?
Viciously.
That sounds vicious. I've never.
My wife has used one on me before, and really? It was not.
She's
not
on your head, Paul.
Really?
No, she just...
I don't want to go down this route.
No, it's nothing. It's nothing dodgy. It's just, I'm just, you know, saying. Right, anyway, on that bombshell, no, we can't stop. We've only just started. So, yeah, anybody interested in what I'm doing?
How was your Christmas, Paul?
Thank you. My Christmas was excellent, and I discovered over the Christmas period that I'd be going to Thailand next week.
Oh, how lovely.
I know, I just thought I'd subtly drop that in.
You say next week?
It's so exciting, next Tuesday.
Oh, all right, cool.
This was discussed in the office, Paul.
Yeah.
Along the lines of, are you managing to get yourself and all your relations going over to Thailand for free, along with no doubt 5-star accommodation?
Yes, to all of the above. So
cheeky git.
So basically, I'm just so jammy sometimes. So I've got approached by this a big insurance company, international insurance company, that are holding like a marketing retreat in Thailand, as you do, and they've asked me to go and speak. And my fee for doing that, well, obviously they're paying for my flight, and the place where they're holding it is a 5-star hotel in Phuket. And, my fee is enough to cover James and Kath coming and us staying for 2 weeks.
Excellent. Nice work if you can get it.
I love my life. And what I think is really important about it is I don't like to go on about it or make a fuss. I'm very humble and reserved. I don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable about this kind of stuff.
Hey, Paul. Mm-hmm. Unfollows Paul.
So, well, I'm going on holiday as well.
Oh, so are you? There. Where are you going?
But I'm having to pay for it.
Yeah.
Which makes a
But to be fair, I am ultimately paying for it because
You're going to a marketing conference.
Exactly. I mean, because I could have gone and kept the money, and the money would have gone into the business. So essentially, I am paying for it indirectly, aren't I?
You are.
Will you be staying for the 2 weeks in the hotel with the marketing people, or somewhere away from?
No,
the marketing
they're going.
Oh,
they're
leaving. Of course, I suppose they will be. That's good.
It's a really nice hotel, so we just can't be bothered to find anywhere else because it's all a bit last minute. So, anyway, Marcus, where are you going? Pretending I care about your life. Yes, Cape Verde. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
When's that?
Different
then?
Island this time. End of the month, 28th of January.
Superb. That sounds good.
So when you return and have to go back to work, I will still be on holiday.
Yes, of course. Although I'm interrupting your last week of holiday, aren't I, to record a podcast?
Yeah, that's just because I had to work so hard last year and I didn't use anywhere near all of my holiday. I think I had something like a third of them left. I thought, well, I better take an extra week off as well. So I don't really mind that, Paul. I'll just be pretending to tidy my office.
Fair enough. Can't say fairer than that. So let's, Lee, you did such a good job earlier, right at the beginning of all of this, of linking very nicely to our topic for the season, and then we just completely ignored you. And
we were being passionate about holidays.
I was being passionate about holidays, yeah. But just so that people know, this season of the podcast, as we said at the end of last season, is primarily about the idea of passion, which sounds really shit for a web design podcast. But I liked the idea. Way to go to support me there, guys. Thank you. I liked the idea of talking about something that was a bit different from what we normally do with the normal kind of advice about, you know, how you build your websites or whatever it be. And I actually look at something that's a bit more kind of career orientated. And one of the things that you hear time and time again is you have to love your job. You have to be passionate about your job. And that if you're passionate, it motivates you. And if you're motivated, you become more successful. So over this season, I wanted to really ask, is that true? Is passion really a necessary part of our jobs? How does it impact what we do? Is it always a good thing? Does it have a bad side to it? And then to explore some of the different kind of aspects of what people are passionate about, what kind of different things get people up in the morning and inspire them to work. So in this kind of first episode, we're going to look in very broad kind of an overview of the season. And we're going to ask, you know, questions like, well, what is passion? And do we think it's a positive or negative thing? And all of those kinds of things. And then over the coming weeks, we're going to get different guests in to talk about specific elements of being passionate. So, for example, next week we've got Vitaly Friedman, co-founder of Smashing Magazine, on to talk about passion within the web community. And then the week after, we've got Ryan Taylor talking about, well, how do you kind of find that elusive passion where you fit into the, you know, you finally find that job that is the right job for you, and so it goes on. But hopefully it'll be something a bit different and a little bit more interesting, and yeah, something different from normal.
Okay.
I've
got lots of thoughts on this.
The word passion.
To not talk about it until after you've done the sponsored bit. Do you want me to talk about it now?
Well, first of all, I think somebody needs to mention David Mitchell's Soapbox Passion episode, which I watched again this afternoon. It just makes just makes me laugh. And now every time you say the word passion, I just giggle a bit inside.
What? I don't think I've seen that one. I've seen most of his, but I haven't seen that one.
It needs a link in the show notes, definitely.
Okay. I have to. I guess this is a kind of general point, I suppose, so we can talk about it now. But I really don't like the word passion.
Neither do I.
It's because, you know, your local accountancy will, or not local, a large accountancy will have a billboard poster up with them in suits saying how passionate they are about accounting.
And that's for Dave, that's for David Mitchell, the sketch.
Right, okay.
And it's just one of those overused words, and I would like us, I know we've already done one episode already, we've done two before one, but going forward, to replace passion with enthusiasm.
Yeah,
or dedication.
A word.
Well, there's kind of, yes, I do totally agree with you, and I hate the word passion as well, but I'm using the word passion particularly for a reason. And the reason is that it is so overused. It is the word that everybody throws around in the web design community. And it's that I want to kind of challenge a little bit and talk about. So, yeah, I mean, I think the premise, very quickly, I think people are going to get the opinion that, yeah, I've got no time for the word passion. But it is what people are talking about. So I kind of want to keep it in some degree, but maybe we kind of shift away from it as the season goes on and talk more about being enthusiastic and what, you know, what gets us fired up and that kind of stuff. I think passion is a bit of a kind of American thing.
Passion should be left in the bedroom. There you go.
Don't you think? Yes. Yeah, it's got a romantic overtone makes us British people feel very uncomfortable.
Yes, I don't like it at all.
No, it's totally wrong. All the definitions are all very sexual and full of desire and lust and yes, it's just not right. It's not right at all.
I don't lust after my job. It's just not the kind of not my thing, I'm afraid. So yes, let's do our sponsor, because I am passionate about our sponsors. Right, we've got a new sponsor joining us this season, who do some amazing stuff, and actually I'm really pleased to have them on the show. They are Dev Bootcamp. Now, Dev Boot Camp are kind of the original immersive, you go along, take part in it coding program that transforms kind of coding beginners all the way, takes them all the way through to being full stack web developers. Now, they're located all over America, but they're probably best known for their downtown New York course that they run. You can find out more about them at devbootcamp.com/BoagWorld. So if you're thinking about becoming a software developer, then you definitely want to check out these guys. They've got like short-term immersive software development programs that will just transform your ability to code, get you ready for getting a job, which is what it's all about at the end of the day, and prepare you to be a full-stack web developer. You can learn both front-end and back-end web development skills, but they also do those other kind of skills that go alongside being a web developer, the kind of softer skills, things like teamwork and leadership, and all of that in this kind of inclusive, kind of rigorous, interactive environment. It's a really exciting thing they do. Check them out at devbootcamp.com/BoagWorld to learn more. So that is our first sponsor, done and dusted, and we turn our attention now to passion. Marcus, go!
I've already said my bit. No, I was speaking to Lee about this the other day, and we realised that we'd used all our best material.
Well, we did actually. This is all, we're rubbish now.
But I kind of said to Lee, I'm not passionate about anything.
Are you not even passionate about your music?
No. Then Lee described a scenario when I said, "Oh, well, actually, yes, I would be in that scenario." So it's true. It's harder to get into the place where you become in that kind of really enthusiastic kind of state of mind. You can't stop doing something the older you get, basically. Lee said, "Well, what about if you're halfway through an idea, or somebody's given you, or you've recorded a song, and you've got to mix it? I will." Say if I'd come in, if I'd spent a day recording a song, it's a very rare thing these days, so it's even more, I get even more excited about it. I'll come in the door after recording all day, and I won't be able to resist start mixing it right there and then. So that's an example of me getting passionate, enthusiastic about something. But generally, day to day, not really. It's pretty rare that I'll get into that state of mind with regard to work. I imagine that's probably less so for Lee and yourself, Paul. But
I suppose is it a matter of getting in the zone? Is being in the zone, are you being passionate during that period where, you know, it's all work coming together and you're excited about what you're doing and you want to see how it's going to develop? Same with music or graphics, as I do. Getting to that place, starting, is difficult.
Paul. You've just recently done some graphic design. I know you did some user journey kind of graphic stuff. I bet you got all kind of woo about that when you were doing it, didn't you?
I did actually. Yeah. I mean, I'm quite an enthusiastic person, I guess.
Yes, you are.
I'm quite enthusiastic.
I'm quite enthusiastic. I get into that place quite easily. But I think there's a fine line. Well, first of all, I agree with Lee. The big problem is starting. Mm. I'm never passionate about anything when it means starting it. I'm never enthusiastic about starting things. Even getting up I'm never enthusiastic about
passionate
that.
About getting out of bed.
Yeah, no. But some people do, don't they? They leap out of bed in the morning and embrace
another day.
A new day. Yeah, it's like bollocks. You know? Once I get going, I don't like to stop. Now, is that passion or is that obsessive compulsive behaviour?
This is for when is where things become a bit muddy, isn't it? But you can...
Well, let me give...
I was going to say, you can, when you say, go to meetings and things, you can enthuse straight away. You have this ability to switch on massive enthusiasm mode, which I've always kind of been very, very respectful of, as I can't do that.
You weren't going to say respectful. You were going to say suspicious and then change your mind at the last moment.
Well, whether it involves some kind of helpful stimulant.
No, just that it was insincere. And,
oh, well,
you know,
of course.
That
obviously that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite good. I can hype myself into excitement, if that makes sense.
Yeah, in a sales situation, so can I.
Yes, it's mainly in a sales situation. You can find something about a project. There's always something in a project to get excited about, whether it be the client itself, the organization, whether it be the particular technical challenge or a design challenge or who the audience is or the fact that they're going to give you a big wadge of money. You know, there's always something to get excited about. Sorry, Marcus, you were going to say...
I was going to say... In the sales situation, I don't know what I was going to say before. I'm just adding on to what we're talking about now. In a sales situation, I always, because I rate Headscape very highly, and I know that we can do a great job. So I always get hyped up by ensuring that the people I'm talking to understand that. So
yeah,
and that never changes. No, in a sales situation, that is always there. So that's I think why I managed to get kind of hyped up. I remember what I was going to say, Paul. Do you, because I'm thinking of a specific example, because we did a bit of work together middle of last year, where you had to write some very, very long documents. Did you not feel the desire to wander off and do something different in the middle of those? Or was that a case of head down and get on with it and I can't stop?
I'm very temperamental, might be the right word. So in that kind of situation, I will, you know, I'll be really excited and I'll be in full stream, and then something will happen. It might be the phone goes, it might be an email, it might be my wife sticks her head around the door, and that's it, it's gone, right? And I've learned not to keep slogging at that point. So I go off, I wander off and play with something else for a bit, and then kind of drift back to it later, and then have another overexcited, I wanted to say that, and I mustn't forget to put that in, and and off I go again. Somebody described me once as there are some people in life that are workhorses that plod along, right? And those kind of people don't really ever get excited or passionate about anything particularly. They're very level kind of people. And there's nothing wrong with those kinds of people because they're very, very productive. They just keep going, you know, endlessly. But this person described me as more like a racehorse, that I'll have this big sprint of energy and be very skittish and very passionate and very enthusiastic, and then I will just die a death. You know, and I'll lose all momentum and it all go away and I'm exhausted. And that, I think, for me, is my expression of passion, if that makes sense, that it's that burst of activity that then goes away. And Marcus, you know, you just said you don't really get massively passionate about anything, and it might just simply be you're more of a workhorse.
I don't think it is. I think it depends on the work. Entirely.
Yeah.
For me. And I think it probably, and that's why I asked you the question about the long document. Let's explore it a little bit further. I suppose the question, because you said that you'll be into it and then a distraction will, if the phone rings or whatever, you may be distracted. I guess from my point of view on this, and you might be different, but from my point of view, if there are tasks where you're less likely to be distracted than others, if the phone rings, because if you were in the middle of doing something you particularly loved doing, the phone rang, you put it down, you'd see what you were doing and go straight back to it. Whereas if it's a bit onerous, the task, then you're more likely to think, hang on a minute, I need to take a break here. So that's why I most of the tasks I do, it's fine, but they're not the kind of thing that fire me up like doing a studio session with the band, for example.
I mean, well, your background's quite interesting in that regards, talking of passion, because, you know, you were a young guy, you were obviously really into your music, you loved that music, then you had what everyone dreams of in that situation, which is you got signed to a record label, it became hugely, you know, big, and, you know, suddenly your hobby, your passion turned into your career. But I get that get the distinct impression that actually that was a bit shit. Not, I mean, you're not, from a musical point of view, yeah, you got to go to amazing places. Yeah, you had women throw themselves at you. Yeah, you were, you know, pumped with drugs whenever you wanted it. But in my head anyway. But you know, from a music point of view, actually that going from that passion for music may have been somewhat undermined by it turning into a job.
Yes, and it's not that the making music bits weren't any less enjoyable than they were previously. It's just you didn't do them as often, anywhere near as often. You're always out, you know, having your photo taken or being on a plane or talking to a DJ or something. And all of that stuff, got in the way. Also, because of when it happened to me, there wasn't much of a desire for certainly young bands anyway to go out and play live. So you didn't. We did do a little bit in the UK, but I mean, at pretty much any other point, any other 5-year gap in the last 50, 60 years, I would have been on the road in America playing live. But that five years, it was like, oh no, that's a waste of money. Don't do that. So we didn't do, you know, that's just life. I mean, that was another reason why you kind of felt like you were never really working on the thing you wanted to be working on. I mean, you accept that you have to promote yourself. Of course you do. Bottom line is there were too many other parts of the job that didn't have anything to do with making music. So that was a bit.
And I think, and that's a quite an important point, isn't it? Where people talk about, oh yes, you have to be passionate about your job. I reckon you'd struggle to find any job where you're passionate about all of it. You know, I'm loving what I do now. You know, I'm passionate about free trips to Thailand, but there are still big chunks of my job that I don't want to be doing. I mean, you know, every week I have to sit down and talk to you for an hour and, you know, there are better things I could be doing.
Like,
but no,
what?
Seriously, you know, obviously you're never going to get excited about doing emails. You're never going to get excited about talking to your accountant about that, are you? But unless you're an accountant, they're passionate about accounting. So I don't think there's, I think sometimes we're a bit kind of naive with stuff like that.
Yeah. And even, I mean, as you said, even the most glamorous job or what appears to be the most glamorous job is going to be full of rubbishy bits. Like, I had a friend who, he was working for Sony writing music. And it was a job I went for. He got the job. He told me about what the job
had. Not bitter at all, are you?
Well, no, he's still a really good friend. He's still a best mate. But and it turned out to not be as exciting as I had blown it up to be in my mind. They were like many, many weeks of just editing sound files and cutting out sound effects rather than doing the bit that I would have been passionate about. So then there's always a drudgery to everything, even the thing you think want to do.
And also, don't you reckon as well that, you know, by human nature, we kind of ruin anything for ourselves to some degree, because, you know, even the wonderful thing becomes normal.
Exactly.
And so you start to pick it apart. I remember once seeing, you know, the dream job, which is, we run this resort in the Maldives or where it is, and we want you to come and live here and blog and tweet and Instagram about what life is like here. You know, and you think, oh, what an amazing job. I'd love to do that. But I bet, you know, during the rainy season, you'd have a good old moan about the rain and, oh, I miss going to the cinema on the weekends. And you always find a way of kind of pulling it apart. So I think this kind of idealistic view that there's some perfect job out there, it just
things become
true.
Normality and routine, and that becomes the job and the day to day, and then it's not exciting anymore as you thought it was going to be, because it's become normality. We had an Indian kid stay with us last summer. He was 14, and I hope I haven't ruined his life. But basically, his parents, right? His parents want him to become a doctor. He was in my office fiddling around with guitars and music stuff, and he was telling me that he really, really wanted to go into music. And that was apparently his passion. You know, he loved music, and And I was, well, he wasn't that particularly great at the guitar or the keyboards. And I was just thinking, really, I don't think you should be following this route. Even though you think it might be your passion, I'm not sure it's the right thing. I didn't say this, I said it more tactfully. But perhaps his parents were thinking of the long term, and perhaps that was the better route. And if you kept the music as something you did in your spare time, it would still be enjoyable and fun. Because let's face it, I mean, music is an impossible job nowadays, unless you're something extraordinary. And, well,
Or extraordinarily lucky.
Yeah, extraordinarily lucky. And I didn't think he was, so I found myself nudging him towards the boring end of his two decisions.
You're such a dad.
That's fascinating, isn't it? Because when you say it out loud like that, it sounds awful. Because we're constantly filled with this. Follow your dreams, embrace your passions. But I'm sometimes those dreams aren't all they're cracked up to be. And even if you do manage to get them, going back to Marcus's experience, and, you know, I just, you've got to be sensible as well. Oh, damn, we're so old and boring.
I always said to my kids, do what you like to do. And one of them's doing that, yeah. I think. Where is he? But I guess now Abigail's being a mum, so I guess that's what she wanted to do. So, yeah, to a certain extent they did.
It has to be a balance, though. You have to do what you like to do and be able to actually exist doing what you like to do.
So I think a better way of viewing it is you should avoid doing what you dislike. Right? You know, I wouldn't stay in a job that I hated. But I might stay in a job that's all right, you know. It'll do. That's okay.
A lot of people do.
Well, yeah, that's compared to a lot of people in the world, that's probably a pretty good place to be. It's all right.
Yeah.
Not bad.
And I mean, just because it's really interesting. Just before we started this season, the Signal versus Noise blog posted something about, do you need to be passionate to be successful in your job? Do you need to love your job to be successful?
No.
And he absolutely, yeah. And do you know what really surprised me? That's what he said. He said, you know, I did, when I co-founded Basecamp, I wasn't passionate about project management. No. In fact, he went as far as saying the reason we set up Basecamp is out of hatred. Right? He hated dealing with project management. He hated the tools that were out there, and he wanted to create something that made it better. Mm. So this whole idea, we need to be driven by passion, you know, and you can't be successful unless you're passionate about what you do.
Well, hatred's a good one. It's amazing what you can achieve through hatred.
Yeah, the dark side of the force. I mean, Darth Vader and the Empire built a whole empire, didn't they? Hugely successful. What did the light side of the Force
do? Did they build big Death Stars or planets with big guns coming out of them? No. They just piddled around in little temple-y things.
I suppose it does depend on how you define success. To a certain extent, I'm playing devil's advocate here. If you're defining success as making money running a business, then I entirely agree with Jason Fried, and I don't think you do need to be passionate about it. But if you're talking about success as being happy when you go to work, then maybe there's a grain of truth in it. I don't know. Is it?
Yes. Let me ask you that, Marcus, because, you know, I think it's fair to say that, you know, Headscape, you enjoy it. It's a job, but you wouldn't call yourself passionate about it. Is that an unfair comment?
I don't think Chris would either.
So on that basis, you know, do you think you've still been successful?
Definitely. Absolutely.
So, you know, because
that's why
I think having an enjoyable job, it doesn't necessarily mean you need to be, it doesn't need to be the be all and end all of your life. I mean, when we founded Headscape, we always said, didn't we, right from the beginning, this is a lifestyle business. Mm. This business exists to allow us to do what we want to do with our lives.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you know, it might be that what you want to do with your life is travel or do music or do this or do that. And if your business can facilitate that, I think that's a success.
Absolutely. And I think that as long as you have an attitude, which I have, that, and I think this is just common sense, really, that when you do work for clients, which is obviously what we do, you do it as best as you possibly can. And there are many reasons why you do that. Then you can carry on doing it. You don't have to be, this is the best thing in the world. You just have to be professional. That's the word, really, isn't it?
Yeah, conscientious and dedicated, professional.
Yeah. But that's not the same feeling as if I've got a song halfway through and I can't put it down. Or if I'm reading a book that's so good, I can't put it down. You know, I'm not passionate about reading a book, but I'm really enthusiastic about the story or whatever. I don't get that feeling about working at Headscape, or very, very rarely. It's just like, sorry, Paul.
No, it's all right. I was just thinking whether you can get into a situation where success actually can undermine your passion. Going back to your pop example, did you come away from that experience less enthusiastic about music?
I can't remember.
That's fair enough.
I don't know, really. I think the honest answer at the time was yes, and it was joining another band 5-odd years later that rekindled my desire to play. So, yes.
Yeah. Because I think sometimes that can be the danger. And it's not just, it goes back to what we were saying earlier, I guess, about seeing behind the curtain, you know. Actually, when you discover the reality of what you think you want, it maybe isn't all that it could be. I mean, I think about my dad sometimes, you know, that from being a kid, he wanted to be a wildlife person, you know, and whatever. And his dad did what Lee did to his visiting person, and he said, no, you'll never make a career out of that, and so why don't you go into farming instead? That's a bit like wildlife, isn't it? So
how'd you
so
feel,
that's what
Lee?
He did. So that's what he did. He went into farming, and then eventually, through circumstances I won't bore you with, he got into a position where he could go and become a full-time wildlife photographer. But, and he loves it, don't get me wrong, and there have been some amazing times, and he's got the best job in the world, and I hate him deeply because of it. And but on the other hand, there are times when you think, bloody hell, you know, that's tough. You know, there's times when he struggled to feed his family, you know, he struggled to pay the mortgage because of the uncertainty in the career path that he's chosen. And you wonder sometimes, yeah, was that worth it? You know, was it worth that battle? And I think it was for him. But boy, it was tough at times. Give up on your dreams, kids. That's what I'm saying.
Get a nice, sensible, well-paid job and stop dreaming.
I wrote a blog post. It's a rare time I say that. But it was when you Lee and Ed and me went to New Adventures in Nottingham.
In Nottingham.
Yeah, and the theme of the conference was, you know, follow your whatever it is, follow your something.
Follow your bliss.
Follow your bliss. That's it. Yes.
Oh, well, it wasn't really. That.
Yes, it was. That, yeah. Well, it was follow your effing bliss, if I remember rightly.
Oh, right, yeah.
There was one of the speakers, can't remember her name, I'm so useless at this, remembering people's names, but anyway, she does kind of, you know, really detailed typography type stuff, lettering.
But yeah, Jessica Hirsch.
And she was talking about, you know, the detail that she gets into, and she gets into this place where, she was talking about Bezier or Bezier curves. I don't know how you pronounce them. And this just stuck in my brain because I didn't know what one of those things was. And I ended up comparing it to what I used to be like when I was in the band, when we were at home writing songs or making demos and that kind of thing. And it was the same. The comparison that I made was you'd spend half an hour trying to find a right sound, or you'd be fiddling with just something and fiddling and fiddling and fiddling and fiddling. And you're completely and utterly drawn into that place. But, you know, how many people can have a job where they're like that? Very, very few.
And also, is that passion or is that, obsession. Like I said earlier, obsessive compulsive?
Yeah, I mean, I was doing that this all morning. I was fiddling, designing something. I was being obsessive about the line widths and spacing and waiting. And, you know, the hours fly by and you look back at it and think, oh, that's nice. That took a whole morning.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice place to be. And it is a kind of obsession.
That's the difference between my job and your job, Lee.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And
That you don't have mornings disappear.
I won't have the equivalent. I very occasionally do. I was playing. I was making images for our presentation that we're doing tomorrow, Lee. And I like doing all that kind of thing. So yes, I do, Paul, but not as much.
Yeah.
And there's always something more important to be doing, like some report that needs writing or something, which there is, and it's really hanging over.
Yes, if you give me a report to write, that can take just days of right. Struggling and there's no.
It's all right, Lee. I won't do it again.
There's no. Where did the morning go? There's. Oh my god! I've written a paragraph and been distracted a million times.
Perhaps that kind of, because I'm thinking that I don't feel that as much as I used to when I used to do design, and you have to wonder. Perhaps that is a creative thing, something, you know, because you hear musicians talk about it, you hear designers talk about it, you hear coders talk about it, and I always say that coding, I think, is quite a creative practice. And so,
yeah, problem solving,
something
I guess.
Slightly different.
That's
doing, perhaps that's something slightly different to passion. I think that's focus or being in the zone or something else. Because I'm passionate about the job I do these days. I love my job. I've got the best job in the world. But I don't lose a morning suddenly and go, whoa, I was just, you know, away with that. That doesn't happen to me very much anymore. Mainly because I'm getting old enough to get up to go to the toilet every 10 minutes.
Yeah, it could be a creative flow state of mind, couldn't it?
I guess, maybe that's the case, Paul, but I guess the way I'm framing this in my mind, this kind of discussion, is it's the how I feel when I'm doing something creative.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by that kind. And I think that's what, and I might be wrong, but I think when people say, I want a job that I love, I think that's what they want. They want a kind of job where they go in and they lose a morning doing something that fascinates them.
Yeah.
But
for me, that's what people love in a job, right? Because I've been thinking about this a lot over the years, because especially towards the end of my time at Headscape, because obviously I was thinking, you know, do I want to stay? Do I, you know, need to move on to something else? And so I was thinking, well, what is it that makes me love a job? And it's independence, being able to kind of set your own agenda and what it is that you work on, etc. It's the working environment and who you're working with and those kinds of things.
So you want to work with no one?
No, that was one of the, and I didn't say all of these have improved, you know, it's a trade-off, isn't it, with some stuff. I do miss you guys, and that's a thing that I've lost. The big one for me, actually, in deciding to go independent was a relationship between what I did and an outcome, a tangible outcome. And that's one of the things I think I lost actually at Headscape, because, you know, I was just doing marketing stuff and I was doing consultancy stuff and I wasn't, you know, like Lee, you know, you sat down this morning, you produced a design, it looked beautiful. You could say I did this, you know, and I kind of lost that over the years. And so moving off and doing my own thing has given me a direct relationship that I do this. It leads to this piece of work. I earn money and go and sit on a beach in Thailand. Just thought I'd slip that in again. So there was a kind of direct relationship. that existed. I can see the video this time. Yeah, no I can see you can. Roll your eyes. You just want to make sure they know. So my point is that a job that you love isn't just a job you're passionate about. It's all these other little factors that make up a good experience. I mean, I'll tell you, my sister-in-law, right, who actually transcribes this podcast, okay?
Hello.
So she'll probably put in the show notes.
Hello there.
Yeah, she'll probably put in the show notes, he's talking bollocks at this point. But she took a job recently. And it was just really to kind of bring in a bit of extra money, and she didn't think she was going to enjoy it very much, and it was just a very mundane, boring job that she just had to do kind of thing. Now, from talking to her since, actually, it's turned out she's really loved that. Not because it's the best employer in the world, not because it's the most interesting work, but she's really liking the people there. So finding a job you love isn't just about, you know, oh, it's something I'm hugely passionate about. There are lots of other factors involved in it. Or at least I think there are.
Absolutely. I mean, this is going to sound quite cynical, but I think it's true. I think a job that you're not that keen on, but it's all right, where you get paid lots of money, you're going to say you enjoy more than if you don't get paid very much for the same job. So
absolutely.
It's.
But you can. You're not allowed to say that, are you?
No, because that really isn't part of the... I'm passionate about my job.
I'm passionate about my paycheck.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
But that does make a big difference. You know, I'm willing... You know, because at the end of the day, we are trading our time in return for money, you know? And the more money you get back for that time... The better a deal it will feel, and the better you'll feel about the job. It is a part of
all
the equation.
All my son's friends and him, they've all been sort of talking about what they're going to do, and it's all about which has got the biggest salary. And you know, keep saying things like, well, do you really want to be, you know, what do you want to be? Some kind of psychologist at the moment, because they get paid lots of money. Well, have you got any interest in psychology in particular? Yeah. All his friends seem to be coming up with all these job titles, and really? Do he wants to do that?
Can you not remember what it's like being 14 years old?
No, I can't.
And all you want is the fast car.
Yeah.
And you know, and be able to do what you like when you want.
Yeah.
And you all you do is just associate that with having lots of money. And
yes.
It's because you've got no money.
Yeah, of course it is.
And you have to work for a few years before you realise that the real goal should be happiness.
And so, so many kids want fame as well. But what is the opposite end of the spectrum of happiness than fame, where you can't even walk in the streets and people hate you for your fame? I don't understand it. I don't understand why kids are so... Again, it's how they're looking at their heroes and they want to be that hero, but they don't know the actual living it, what it's like.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're right with the money side of things, that although, yeah, you know, it does make a difference, without a doubt, how much you get paid, up until a certain point. And then when you hit a certain point, it becomes, you just live up to your income anyway. You know, your basic needs are covered. The basic things that you need for life are covered.
Yes.
And you're just living up to your income. So it actually doesn't make any difference then, because you get a salary increase. Like, I'm better off now than I was at Headscape, but I don't feel better off because it's just got funneled away into pensions and you know, ISA savings accounts and we're thinking of getting an extension.
Yes.
And, you know, it doesn't make it beyond a certain point.
Sorry.
I was saying that there is a point, I'm sure, further along the line of wealthiness where it does change, but none of us are ever going to reach that.
No, but it's a lot further because people, they start buying other houses and then more and more and more stuff and people to do things in those houses for them, and they must be just spending a fortune. You do hear about various people you couldn't imagine ever being poor, becoming bankrupt. You know, people you think of famous actresses and pop stars.
But anyway,
Michael Jackson
was bankrupt,
wasn't
he? I know some very surprising people have turned out to be bankrupt. But it was he had a fairground, didn't he? People buy ridiculous things and they live up to their income.
I think we need to throw a caveat in here in case younger people are thinking you're talking bollocks, because we are three old men.
who
all got their own houses, all drive around in a nice car. We are very comfortable in comparison to where we were 30 odd years ago. So we're not rich, but
yes,
we're talking about this stuff from a position of comfort.
It's true.
And I think we need to recognise that.
Although in your case, actually, 30 years ago, Marcus, you would have had more disposable income than you have now.
No, I deliberately said 30 because that was before I had any hits.
Oh, right. Okay, fair enough.
Fine. 1986. So, I was 18.
Okay.
No, 19.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Money is a... And we said money is a part of the mix that makes a good job, a job that you enjoy, a job that you find satisfying. Well, one last thing. I want to ask one last thing about this kind of issue of passion.
Should be kept in the bedroom.
Should be kept in the bedroom. So that's going to put a different spin on my question now, which is, can you be overly passionate? Can it actually become dangerous?
It can probably come,
because I look around at, you know, some people now, and you think, oh, just get some perspective.
I think,
you know,
it can become annoying, kind of, definitely. Oh, shut up.
Yeah. I don't care about your vegan diet, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, sorry, Lee, that's a bit close to home.
No,
Lee was a vegan.
I tried
for
it for a month. I now know how silly it is. And how many chips you end up eating. But anyway, I think you can become annoying, and you can probably alienate people if you're too over the top all the time.
And I think as well, you can be damaging to yourself as well, because you do go into the realms of never doing anything other than your job, never doing anything other than what your passion is, and you cease to be a rounded human being, which is what we're going to talk about in
episode 2. It's got to be quite stressful as well, being passionate like that. It can't be good for you.
Oh, tiring.
Just chill out.
Yeah.
Have a cup of tea. Sit down.
I think this applies to people. There is a type of person that I think we're talking about here. It tends to be entrepreneurial types, doesn't it? Or people,
yeah, and it's entrepreneurial types that are pushing this whole passion agenda. Yeah.
And it's just like
passion. It's not an agenda, but
I know. But also, I can remember when I first got a job after working in the music business, and it was for a large paper company. Bizarrely, I mean, great place actually. Really enjoyed working there. But I can remember there were different, different departments around the building, and marketing was this place that I didn't really know what it did. I kind of know what marketing is now, but obviously back in those days, it was just like, what do they do? Well, how are they different to sales? But basically, it seemed to me that shortly after working there, is they were the people that lied to themselves. basically. my product is the best product in the world, and whenever I'm at work and wherever I'm talking to you, I have to lie about how brilliant it is all the time. Otherwise, I'm not doing my job properly. And that can't be healthy. And I think the same applies to entrepreneurs times 10. It's like, my new idea is the best thing on the planet. And if they believe, if they don't think that, then it won't be successful. But it'll either be successful or it won't, in my view. But, yeah.
And also, it's okay to produce something solid and good and a good contribution. It doesn't need to be world-changing. It's like everybody, this whole thing, it's all Steve Jobs' fault, in my opinion. Because he talked about putting a dent in the universe, right? I've got no desire to dent the universe.
Me neither.
I would
old
like
man
to
caveat
put
again.
A dent in. Yeah. It is. It's, you do just mellow with age. You go, can't be bothered. Really. Yeah. I mean,
give me a gin
think,
and tonic in the garden.
Should,
that'll do.
I was going to say we should end with Lee's comments of just chill out and have a cup of tea.
Yeah. That'll do.
Just calm down.
My cup of tea. Where is it? There it is.
I think the thing that I want to leave people with, because it's been a very rambly conversation and far too long as well, but the thing that I want to leave people with is that, you know, by all means, go after a job you're enthusiastic about. Go after one that you would love doing. But just remember, there are a lot more elements that will that will ultimately impact your happiness in that job more than just how enthusiastic and passionate you are about that job. You know, the people you work with, the environment you work with, the kind of work you do, your accountability, that, you know, all of those things, the money, all of those things are just as important in building a happy and enjoyable career than whether you're passionate about whatever the thing is. So it's just about keeping it in perspective, really, isn't it?
Staying away from the music business, aren't
right.
you?
Absolutely.
No, apparently so.
No money.
Crush
in that.
Those dreams, Lee.
Go work at a supermarket. It pays more. No, do both.
Both.
So going back to what we were saying about Basecamp and how Basecamp ended up getting started because, you know, he had a hatred of dealing with project management. And that brings us very nicely onto our sponsor for this week, which is Proposify. So Proposify is a simple tool that helps you create well-designed winning proposals that work really well. And this is, I think, a product born out of taking away people's pain and probably was born out of, oh, I hate creating proposals. I wish it could be easier. And I use this tool and I have to say it is worth every penny to me because it takes away that pain. It's one less thing in my job for me to go, oh, do I have to do that? Because creating proposals can be quite a convoluted pain in the arse. And so anything that can help do that is really useful. So basically, it streamlines the creation of your proposals and helps you, you know, kind of close the whole thing down so much quicker. So instead of spending hours kind of sending Word documents or InDesign files or Google Docs back and forth to the client, you can basically just go into Proposify, pick one of their kind of pre-written templates if you want to, a gallery of professionally proposal designs, and then you can kind of deliver this to the client once you've produced it, and they can comment directly on it, and then you can amend it and update it, and then finally there's a kind of nice sign-off ability at the end of it, which, by the way, Marcus, I remember you complaining once when we talked about Proposify that you had to scribble your signature.
It's because I write with my left hand and I mouse with my right hand. That was the problem.
Yeah, there you go. So now you can just type in your signature, Marcus. So it's all right.
Type
now.
A signature.
It's called an e-signature, Marcus. It's a binding. It's still binding, but it's not an actual signature. So they've got some brilliant, beautiful designs for your proposal that you can use if you want to. I've gone in and customized and created my own proposal that's in line with my rest of the branding. I have to say it was very straightforward. No design experience really very necessary. You can say goodbye to those complex InDesign files that some people use or the rigidness of other tools when it comes to design. Like, you can create really nice, you know, it's very easy to write something in Word, but it doesn't look that pretty always. You can customize the layout, the look and feel of your proposals. It's got loads of stuff. Now, this is the good bit. So check out Proposify. But what I'm really impressed with is they've given us a really good deal on it, which is you can get 3 months of using Proposify absolutely free on any one of their monthly plans. So you can get the 14-day free trial. And then on top of that, another free 3 months for free. Which is superb. And you can do that by using the coupon code BOAGWORLD when you sign up for any one of their monthly plans. So really, guys, if you even if you don't do proposals very much, even if you think what you've got is perfectly adequate, you might as well give it a go because you're going to get 3.5 months for free of this thing. So that's ample time to try it out at least on one project and see what you think of it. So check that out. I use it every day. In fact, I was using it today to create a proposal. And I was able to turn around a proposal really quickly by duplicating an old one, editing it, and it even fills in. You know how you accidentally, sorry, I need to sharpen a bit, but I just got to say this.
Do you know what you sound like, Paul? You sound like you're passionate about proposals and Proposify.
I'm not passionate about proposals, but I must admit, I'm quite enthusiastic about Proposify.
What's a proposal?
The one, What's a proposal? You spend your whole life doing it. And I tell you, it solves one of the things that I've seen you do before in proposals, Marcus, which is where you copy and paste a proposal across and then you forget to change some of the client names.
Goodness.
In it.
That's happened once in 100 years.
A shocking accusation.
That is a shocking
accusation. Absolutely true. So it'll automatically change
once
the name of the
year,
client for you
happen.
And various things like
that's only because Chris reads all my documents and I read all of Chris's documents.
Well, not everybody's got someone to read their documents if you're a lone freelancer like me.
Or you.
Anyway, Marcus, did you find a joke?
I did.
Because I know you were going at the beginning of the show, I don't
have one. My problem with proposals is I've written many proposals now, I've kind of got proposal overload, where I can remember writing something along the lines of what I want to talk about, but I've got no idea where it is, or...
I propose a fight.
Well, no, it wouldn't help. It would just be another place to have more proposals.
You can search. You can search across your old proposals.
I can search across my old proposals now, but it doesn't make any difference.
And you can take one of those sections from a proposal and save it to a content library and name that section, you know, I don't know, customer journey mapping. And then you could just drag that into whichever proposal you want. Nah, you got me. That's good.
Should have. Yeah. I should have done that at the start, 15 years ago.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. It'd be a pain to go back through them all now.
It'd take
do that,
a year.
Yeah. I understand.
Anyway.
A year well spent, absolutely. Marcus. Anyway, what's your joke?
I went to the cemetery yesterday to lay some flowers on a grave. Happy joke, this one. As I was standing there, I noticed four grave diggers walking about with a coffin. 3 hours later, and they're still walking about with it. I thought to myself, they've lost the plot.
There we go. Well done. You've really got the most out of Christmas this year. Have you been collecting all the cracker jokes? Is that what you've done? Is that where all the new ones have come
from? No, this
is
me going back to jokes of 10 years ago that I can probably get away with saying again. And obviously weeding them out. But, yeah. But still send me more. Send me
wonderful.
More.
So there we go. This week, the end of passion and jokes about death. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you, Lee, for joining us.
Thank you.
It's really good to have you back on. And goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. I'm